Good morning. Welcome here to our Lent. Our Lenten theme is spending time with God. Today we focus on solitude. Please look at the insert and join me on your part. Loneliness is emptiness within. Solitude is inner fulfillment. Jesus looked for solitude. When he inaugurated his ministry by spending 40 days alone in the desert, before he chose the 12, when he spent the entire night alone in the desert hills, when he received the news of John the Baptist's death by withdrawing in a boat to a lonely place, after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, following the healing of a leper by withdrawing to the wilderness for prayer, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he prepared for his highest and most holy work. Help us find times of solitude as we follow Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. We are beginning our service with a song of quietness and rest, but please sing out. Please stand to sing number 5 in your hymnal.
Again, welcome here as we come together to worship. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? If not, be welcome. Children, please come forward. Mrs. White has a story before Sunday school.
Good morning. How are you today? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you have ever been on vacation? How many of you love to go on vacation? And do you know that's actually something that Jesus wants us to do? So today the picture I brought is one that hangs in our bedroom at home. It's a picture of us, wherever we go on vacation, we try and take a picture of the four of us together. So there's pictures of Paul, Ben, and James and me all over the place. And what do you notice about our faces? We're all smiling, yes. Do you think we do like that all the time? No, Rhea says, no, not always. That's not really how life is. Sometimes we're very busy, especially now that the boys are all grown up. They have school and we have work and we don't get to be together very often. So when we want to get away and rest, we like to go somewhere together and do fun things. Now, I think you heard in the reading that we all did together that Jesus went to find solitude. That means he went somewhere to be alone so that he could think about what was happening and what was going on and how he could best do his job. Finding solitude looks different for different people, but we all need it. And Jesus, when he was with his disciples, they came one day and they said to him how busy they had been helping everyone. And he didn't tell them, go do it some more. He said, there have been so many people coming and going. Come with me to a quiet place so that you can get some rest. So the Bible tells us that they got in a boat and they went away to a quiet place. Now, my family doesn't always go to quiet places, but when we go away together, we rest and we get to know each other again and we have fun. So we all need time to get away from it all. And that's what the grown-ups are going to remember today, and that's what you can remember yourselves too. So can we bow for prayer? Dear Father, we thank you for work, for play, and for school. We also thank you for those times when we can get away from it all and get some rest. Amen. And you can go downstairs to Sunday school this morning.
Return to our congregation community life. Our sympathies and prayers go out to Linda and Jason Arlt, Christy, Noel, Luca, Rowan, and Zara Matthias, John and Heidi Schrader, Sandy, Casey, Victoria, Sydney, and Nicholas DeYoung, and their extended family and friends on the passing of Ken Arlt, age 64, on March 2nd. The funeral service will be held here on Monday at 11 a.m. Linda thanks the congregation for prayers and for phone calls. Condolences also go out to Don and Katie Remillard and their family and friends on the passing of Don's brother, Ed Remillard, on March 3rd. They would like to thank Gary and the congregation for their thoughts, prayers, and support. Peter Dirksen, as we know, also passed away on February 21st. The family would like to thank you for the condolences and prayers. A memorial service is being planned for sometime in April. Please stay tuned as the date will be announced when it's determined. Please also pray for the many who are ill and undergoing treatment, specifically Peter Hirschfeld, who remains in hospital being treated for pancreatitis. He asked for no visitors at this time. Hilda Weens continues with her chemotherapy treatments, and Waldemar Tom's daughter, Glenda Arnott, is still receiving care in hospital. Jordan Lucier is recovering from his spinal surgery. There's a nice excerpt in an email in the bulletin, which you can read. And there's apparently another longer excerpt on the bulletin board in the back, if you'd like to take time to read that. On a happy note, Stephen and Katie Redekop are pleased to announce the birth of their son, Aiden Gabriel, on March 2nd. Mom and son are doing well. Grandparents are Diane Friesen, Ed and Adina Redekop, and great-grandfather Hans Rempel Sr. There are many important bulletin announcements to take note of, just a few to really touch upon very briefly. Take note of the number 9 choir rehearsals have started for Easter. Please join us. The Schmorg also needs volunteers. Item number 11, please see the sign-up sheets at the back. Number 15, the Youth Sticky Bun Fundraiser. Sounds delicious. Talk to Tim or Stephanie about that. And don't forget about Daylight Saving Time next week. We'll know if you forgot if we see you arrive at 12 o'clock. I've seen people do that. That's okay. And now time for some sharing. I believe there's a roving mic somewhere, or come to the front. Thank you.
Hi, this is Sarah Cowan-Hohen. I just want to remind the willing helpers that we have canceled the singing at Bethania on Monday evening. And I also want to share that Deborah Weeb and myself were at the International World Day of Prayer at Jubilee. And there was only about Melanie Sawatsky and Alice Pound were there from our congregation. There were only about 65 people that came for it. It was very interesting. Their theme was from the women of Cuba. And their theme was "Receive Children, Receive Me." So that's all I have.
Thank you. Anyone else? Over there. Oh, sorry.
Good morning, everyone. Trish Weep. Hi. Are you sure? Okay, good. As you guys all know, Boley has now been here, I think, for 17 days. Is that correct? 2 weeks, 17 days, I think, and it's been long, so very long, yeah. It's been great. I think as a committee, we have done a fantastic job. Boley moved in last night to his apartment and got everything all set up, so he had his first night in his apartment last night all by himself, yeah, and it went okay. It was okay. So we're still just waiting on news for Nestry. We haven't heard too much or anything. So lots of prayers for that because we're actually getting a little concerned that we have absolutely no knowledge of him or his whereabouts, actually. So it's getting a little bit not so okay anymore. So hopefully keep him in your prayers, and prayers of Move It government sent that way would be good as well. So I think as a committee, just want to say thank you for all your donations. They've all made a beautiful home for Boley. And now we are going to just be asking for lots of time, people's time. Boley needs to learn to read and write.
Okay, my name is Boley.
And his name is Boley.
I'm from Africa, but my country is Sudan. But I live in Kenya, 20 years, in Nairobi camp. It's called Dabdab. It's a very bad place. It's not good. Somebody like me, I thank God to be here in Canada. Mm-hmm. Because Canada is another world for me. The weather is good, the people are good.
The people are good? Yeah. It's a new world for you?
A new world for me.
Yeah, and you're happy?
So I'm very happy. I thank everyone. Because I got big hours last night, but in Africa, someone like me, I don't know what can I say. It's very big house.
Very, very big house. Your very big 2-bedroom, 900 square foot apartment. Very big house.
So
yes.
I tell everyone in the church here to help me all, everything. Because I've never come with anything. Just I come like this.
With the clothes on your back.
But when I get last night in the house, at first this one is the one, take me to school. He show me everything. And then this one also. My English is not okay, please.
Your English is fine.
English. Yeah, I want to learn Canadian English. This Africa English is not fine.
You're all good.
Thank you.
Yes. African English, you're fine. We gotcha. So Boley needs to learn to read and write, learn the transit system, how to cook on a stove, because the camp didn't have electricity. So any time that you have, right now Boley's in school from 9 to 12, afternoons and evenings are a bit lonely, shall we say, because we're not used to being on our own at all, ever. So any time that anybody has to spend would be awesome. We are going to let everyone know Boley's cell phone number soon, so he'll be able to call, and he's very good on his phone and make arrangements with him to spend time, and he's just lovely. So anyone that gets to spend time with him, you will be blessed, and he loves to talk, and he's okay. He's got no problems. Canada, there's no problems. So there you go.
Thank you. I think I saw a hand over here.
This actually has to do with the White family. This past week, there was an article in the paper with a nice picture of Paul White and two other young adults. And the one was doing exploration into early detection of Alzheimer's disease. And Paul and his accomplice were working on spatial software and a way to see whether people are having problems orientating themselves, hopefully with the result that Alzheimer's would be detected sooner, because we can't detect it until after people die. So in this way, if it's detected sooner, there are medications. It won't prevent the disease, but it will certainly slow it down. And I think there is a huge congratulations to the parents as well as to Paul. Thank you.
I think that's it. Thank you very much. Although you had one.
I had one too. Just want to invite everybody for March 12th. For the trivia contest and the fundraiser, there's still room for more people. There'll be a lot of fun, and there'll be some live music that night. It'll be a really nice time. You're all invited. Please call me and let me know so that we can prepare appropriately. There's some setting up that we have to do, and look forward to seeing you. Thanks.
Thank you. A little departure from the bulletin. We did want to sing a memorial hymn for those who've died recently. I believe it's going to be Precious Lord 575. I hope that's correct. If not, Carol will correct us.
Let's turn to 575. Let's sing one verse of Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Precious Lord, take my hand. I didn't realize that you always stand for this song, so sorry, it makes sense now. Thanks.
Can we bow for the prayer of God's people, please? Loving God, during this time of Lent, help us remember the time you spent alone in solitude and the time you spent lonely on the cross. Help us remember that in you, we are never alone. And help us seek islands of solitude in our busy world. Be with those who are ill and in mourning at this time. We pray specifically for the family and friends of Ken Arlt, Ed Remillard, and Peter Dirksen as they mourn their loved ones passing. We pray for those who are ill or in hospital, Peter Hirschfeld, Hildy Weens, Glenda Arnott, and for Jordan Lozier as he recovers from surgery. We share in joyful thanksgiving at the safe arrival of Aidan Gabriel Redekop. We ask you to think of those in nursing and extended care homes and grant them your comfort. We pray also for our wider world. We pray for the hungry and those who feed them, for refugees from Syria, the Sudan, and elsewhere who are waiting to come to a safe haven, and for those already here. Help them make the transition to their new home. We pray for the sorrowing and those who comfort them, for a world full of anger and strife. Give us wisdom and strength through you to help heal our broken and lonely world. Amen. We'll take the offering now. We hear God's word. First from Luke 6, verse 12 to 14. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he designated apostles. Then from Mark 6, verse 30 to 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him as they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Then further in Mark 6, verse 45 to 46, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray.
Please find your song for Lent, slowly turning in your bulletin, and we'll sing verse 1 and 3.
Thank you. As we continue our series on spiritual disciplines during this Lenten season, it has come to me to discuss what for many of us is likely the most frightening of them all, solitude. Many of us, in particular the younger people here, are very unused to being truly alone. With technology, it becomes so easy for us to always be surrounded by others in some way. When there's nobody with us, we try our best to fill that emptiness so that it's like there's others around. We turn on the radio, we leave on the TV in the background. We have our phones with us at all times so we can call or text people. We distract ourselves so that we don't feel quite so alone. Many people that I know are very uncomfortable being truly alone. And many feel like there's nothing that can be accomplished alone that can't be accomplished when in the company of others. So they see no value in the solitude, and they fear it and never seek it out. So why is solitude considered a spiritual discipline? It's a bit different from many of the others. Well, to start off with, we'll start off with the easy answer. It's a spiritual discipline because Jesus did it. So it must be a good thing for us to do too. And this is true. Throughout all of the Gospels, Jesus' ministry is characterized by an ongoing rhythm of spending time with people and spending time in solitude. Why did Jesus seek this solitude? Let's unpack that a little bit. It's because when he sought solitude, it wasn't merely seeking to be alone. He was seeking to be alone with God, which is very different. He sought out solitude at all of the most important moments in his life of ministry. At the very beginning of his ministry, he spent 40 days and nights alone in the wilderness before he began. He spent time in the solitude before calling the apostles. He spent time alone in Gethsemane on the night that he was betrayed. When you're alone, you can be free from many of the things that distract you, and be closer to the presence of God, and more open to being able to hear Him. At this point, I'd like to point out that loneliness and being alone are often two completely different things. The fear of loneliness is part of why many people don't want to spend time in solitude. But when you think about it, some of the times when you feel most alone are when you're surrounded by people. For me, some of these times are the times when I feel the most lonely, such as when I'm surrounded with people and everyone else seems to know each other very well, and I only know maybe one or two other people in the room, and so feel like an outcast. Or for instance, if you're in a managerial role at work, while surrounded by people, you're set apart by your position. And I'm sure you can think of many other examples. When you seek solitude, you aren't seeking to be alone. You're seeking to rest in the presence of God. It isn't so much turning away from everyone else as it is turning toward your personal relationship with God, taking away all those things that distract you from being able to hear God's voice, and waiting with expectation for what you might hear. Now comes the question, what does solitude look like? That's a good question. It can look like a lot of different things to different people. For some, it's just getting away from everything and spending time resting in the presence of God. Just sitting or lying down in a lonely place and being present and resting and nothing else. For others, that can sound like a nightmare. Just sitting with nothing in particular to do. So for others, it can look like taking a walk alone at the local park. For others, it can be doing a fairly mindless task at home alone, such as ironing clothes, cooking a familiar meal, doing a jigsaw puzzle, washing dishes. Things that don't demand too much of your mental focus. The only thing that's really important is that you don't add in anything that causes distraction. Now, there are two major things that are likely to stop people from wanting to or being able to practice solitude. The awkwardness of silence and the busyness of life. So I'm going to take a little time to address both of those things. Firstly, the awkwardness of silence. In this day and age, it's very easy to avoid silence. We have constant sources of sound. So many of us are unused to ever hearing silence. And sitting in silence is a learned skill. It takes practice, even though it seems like it shouldn't, because when it comes down to it, how hard can it be to do literally nothing? As it turns out, it can be very hard. So this now is my gift to all of you. Together, we're going to partake in a couple minutes of silence, so that we can get over the awkwardness of silence without at the same time having to get over the awkwardness of being alone. Now, for some of us, that was probably quite difficult. Perhaps it was most difficult for me, standing at the front, doing nothing while everyone sort of sits there waiting. But for others, it was a welcome time of reflection. For those for whom it was difficult, this is my homework for you this week. Find 5 minutes every day this week where you can be intentionally silent. It doesn't have to be some extravagant thing where you go find time alone in the park or have the house all to yourself. But try to sneak in 5 minutes where you can actively pay attention to being silent. And this leads into my next point. Where do you find the time to have moments of solitude? Finding the time for solitude can seem like a challenge for many of us in this busy world. But I think for many of us, the problem is that we aim too high. We think that solitude needs to be an afternoon alone, or perhaps it's going as far as to go away on a retreat somewhere, such as St. Benedict's Monastery, or spending a day or two alone at the cabin. And while those are good things to do, solitude can come in much smaller, more manageable chunks that are still very worthwhile. We already have many moments during the day when we're alone, and solitude can be as easy as acknowledging them and paying attention to them. Some things that may be solitude just waiting to be acknowledged are the few minutes you spend waiting in the car for your son and daughter to come out of hockey practice, or your morning shower, or driving to work in the morning. This weekend, I was at the MCM Leadership Day, where the guest speaker was April Yamazaki, who is one of the authors, or is the author of one of the books that I read in preparation for today's sermon. One suggestion she had was to get a moment of solitude by arriving at your destination a couple minutes early, and spending those couple minutes of solitude alone in your car. Another issue that many of us may have when attempting to take these little pauses alone with God is how do we remind ourselves to do this in the busy day-to-day? Life can just slip away too easily. Here I turn to April Yamazaki again. What she suggests in her book, Sacred Pauses, is to create what she calls everyday icons. Since we're not high church, let me take a minute to explain what an icon is to everybody. An icon is a piece of religious art, often a depiction of Jesus or one of the apostles or Mary or some other character from the Bible, with a hand of blessing as a reminder of the grace and the peace of God. An everyday icon, on the other hand, is something more everyday that you can use to point yourself to God. In the book, April talks about hers, which is a coffee cup on a tray with a little room for a sweet treat, such as a coffee or a muffin or a cookie. She always leaves this tray on her desk to remind her to take time to spend with God, like talking with a friend over a cup of coffee. And after reading her book, I have chosen my own everyday icon. It's this clock. Frankly, as clocks go, I like it. But it's not really a very good clock, compared to, like, a modern quartz clock. It keeps time poorly. It requires me to wind it at least once a week. It's kind of loud and in your face. I mean, I could just get the cheap quartz clock that would never need winding, and it wouldn't lose or gain a second in a year. But that's kind of why this makes such a great icon. It requires attention. The tick-tock of the clock is hard to ignore, and the bonging bell at the hour harder still. It grabs my attention. It is in my front room, so I walk past it as soon as I enter the house. And I walk past it many times throughout the day. It also has personal significance to me, as it was a present from my father, who is someone who is notorious for hating shopping. And though a clock can be a reminder of how little time we have to get everything done, a clock like this, with its ticking pendulum, for me is a reminder of just how long a minute is. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. The minute just crawls by. It makes you realize how much there is to just 1 minute. And a minute or two is enough time to spend in solitude with God. It adds up. Even if we only spend 6.5 minutes a day, at the end of the year, that's added up to a full 40-hour work week, which is quite a bit of time to spend in the presence of God. So this clock reminds me, one tick at a time, just how much time we actually have, and how little of it we tend to spend together with God. So this is my other bit of homework for you. Try to find yourself an everyday icon, something that you come across many times a day, something that is hard to ignore, and something that reminds you to spend a few minutes alone with God.
As our response, there's a song in number 511 in the hymn book, God Who Touches Earth with Beauty. This song describes how we feel in God's nature when we are spend some time alone with God. So let's sing verse 1, 2, 3, and 5. It's got a lot of accompaniment in between.
Please rise for the benediction and remain standing for the last hymn. In the loneliness of life, grant us solitude. In our anger, help us find peace. In the anxieties of life, grant us calm. In our grief, comfort us. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord turn his face towards us and grant us peace. Amen.
Number 493 in the hymnal, I heard the voice of Jesus say, let's leave with the promise that God will be with us as we rest in God.